Well, I have a secret to share with you this evening. A secret that I haven't shared with anyone else. A secret that hasn't been shared with anyone else in the whole of this world. A secret that I've saved, especially for you here this evening. A special secret, not shared with anyone else, but saved especially for you here this evening. And the secret is... How would you feel if I started the sermon like that and share with you a secret? I'm not going to, but if I did share with you a special secret unshared with anyone else, I don't really have one of those secrets to share with you. I suppose, in a sense, this sermon is a secret. It's the first time I've preached it. That's less exciting. But how would you feel if I did share with you a special secret unshared with anyone else? You probably have a mix of emotions and feelings about that particular situation, but I imagine one of the things you would feel is you'd feel quite privileged, wouldn't you? Isn't that how we feel when someone entrusts us with a special secret? Just us. Feel privileged and honoured. And I think that feeling gives us a glimpse of how we should think about our relationship with Jesus when we hear the promise that he gives at the end of his letter to the church in Pergamum that we looked at, if you were with us this morning, when it says, "These words that will appear behind me, to the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it." In the evenings, we're looking at the different promises that Jesus makes to the one who conquers, to those who are victorious, who conquer because of being united to him by faith and sharing in his final victory. He gives a series of promises in the letters that he speaks to the seven churches in the opening chapters of Revelation. We're looking at the letters in the morning and how Jesus speaks to us, and then these promises he makes in the evening. And this is the promise that he makes to the church in Pergamum, a promise he makes to all of his people this evening. And admittedly, when we first look at the promise, it may seem a bit underwhelming. If I told you that we're going to have a church quiz and the first prize for winning the quiz is going to be a stone with a name written on it, you may not get that excited about the first prize. And it is a promise that seems slightly cryptic. And I'm not going to explain everything about this verse this evening. I'm not going to give you the seven possible interpretations of the white stone. We're not going to go down that route. I'm going to follow the principle that in the Bible, we should concentrate on what we do understand and not what we don't understand. And as we focus on what we do understand in this verse this evening, I hope we'll see something of the privilege of knowing Jesus, the privileged, honoured relationship we can have with him. I hope that for you, if you do know Jesus this evening, that there will be something of a refreshing reminder of that special relationship that you can enjoy with your Saviour. Now, two things that I hope we'll particularly see from these images: the image of the hidden manna and the image of the white stone with a new name written on it that no one knows except the one who receives it. Two things I want us to see this evening in this promise. And the first is this. We hear this promise of Jesus. We can see we're special to him. We're special to him because he shares things with us that he doesn't share with others. We're special to him. He shares things with us that he doesn't share with us, with others. Get that first image of the hidden manna. We'll come back to that a bit later on, but it's hidden. It's not for public consumption. This is something that he keeps for his special chosen people. You could imagine if some houses have two reception rooms. You have the general reception room that's full of the riffraff that come in, and then you have the special reception room behind a closed door that's just for close friends and family. You know those kind of houses. Maybe you live in one. That's an interesting laugh, Anne. But you know, this kind of houses. And here, Jesus is saying to his people, well, you're going to come behind the closed door and you're going to come into this special place, not for public consumption, a hidden manor. And then you get this image of the white stone with a new name written on it that no one knows except the one who receives it. And again, we'll come back to that a bit later on, but I just love the image of this little secret that Jesus shares just with his people. This new name that no one knows except the one who receives it, and we assume Jesus as well. This little secret that Jesus enjoys with his people. This new name that he doesn't share just with anyone, just with the one who conquers, the one joined to him by faith, the one who shares in his victory, his special chosen people. This image of the hidden manor, the stone with the secret name, point us to how special we are to him. He shares things with us that he doesn't share with others. It speaks of a privileged relationship, a close relationship. What word might we use to describe that relationship? Well, word Jesus uses in John 15, verse 15 is friends. We could look at that verse where Jesus says to his disciples, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." He reveals these things from the Father to his people, and he calls them friends. Maybe we're used to that verse, but that's quite an amazing statement, isn't it? That Jesus could call us friends. The eternal Son of God, God of heaven, the one through whom and for whom all things were created, can say, "I call you friends." Maybe that's worth thinking about a bit, isn't it? Friends. A special, privileged, close relationship where he shares things with his people. He doesn't just share with others. And so here, in Revelation 2, to his people and to his people only, he gives this new stone with a new name. Later in Revelation, he teaches his people a new song, just for his people, a new song. And then at the end of the whole Bible, a new home just for his people, a new home. These things that he shares with us, that he doesn't share with others because we're special to him. And as I've gone through this week, I've come to appreciate, I think, more of the slightly mysterious, cryptic nature of this promise, such that I wonder if it's deliberately a bit cryptic and mysterious. I will admit to you, this is perhaps a secret, I don't completely understand all of these words. I'm not completely certain what the white stone is a reference to or how we should understand that, but I find this thought quite exciting. We may not completely understand it now, but one day we will, if we know Jesus. One day we will understand things that we don't understand now, as he shares with us knowledge about himself and about his Father and about his work in this world and how he's been at work saving people. He'll show us things, amazing things, wonderful things, that's not otherwise available, that's not generally known, but just for us, his special chosen people. He loves us, we're special to him. I love that thought. We often talk about knowing Jesus. We often sing about knowing Jesus. Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. We like the thought of a relationship with Jesus, and these images give us some understanding of what kind of relationship we have with Jesus. It's not like the relationship that someone might have with HMRC, slightly cold, distant, unnerving. But this is a close, special, intimate, personal relationship, and forever as well. The good news of Christianity, the good news of Jesus, the good news of the gospel is not just a message of forgiveness. It's not that we have this debt of sin and guilt from our rebellion against God, and that Jesus clears the debt, and that's it, as if it's just some kind of financial transaction in heaven. No, the good news of Christianity, the good news of Jesus, is that we can know God and be known by him. That we have this relationship with him forever. To know God, the living God, the eternal God, the God of heaven. And to be known by him. To know so closely and intimately. The most precious relationship that we could have in this world, more precious than my relationship with Hannah or with Reuben or with Abigail or with any of you here, no offence, but a relationship that I can enjoy with Jesus. Sometimes maybe we don't think about how precious that relationship is. We just perhaps take it for granted, but it's really quite amazing. If you think how Jesus is completely way out of our league, right? This is the one who is the eternal Son of God, the one for whom and through whom all things were made, the one who is absolutely spotlessly perfect, always has been, always will be, because he's eternally perfect. And then you've got us, created humans, fallen short, people who've sinned, who've turned away from the purpose that God has created us for, weak, sinful, rebellious, and guilty. But then we see Jesus coming down from heaven to earth to close the gap, living among us, not just living among us, but dying as well, dying on the cross to take the punishment that we deserve, to take away the guilt and stain of our sin, so we could have a new relationship with heaven. So if we receive him, if we receive him as our Lord, as our Saviour, as our friend, then we can enjoy these things that he doesn't share with others, but just with his special people who trust him, to know his Father in heaven, to have hope for the future, to have new life in his name, to look forward to all he has to share with us in the future as well. If we know Jesus, it's worth us thinking about how precious that relationship is. And here these two images point us to how special we are to him in his eyes, how precious he shares things with us that he doesn't share with others. Another thing I want us to see from the hidden manna and the white stone with a new name written on it. Well, we're special to him now, yes. But one day we'll see just how special we are to him. Both the hidden manna and the stone with a new name on it point us forward to something more than what we already enjoy, wonderful as that is. Something more is coming when Jesus returns and we meet him face to face. Something more is coming. And then we'll see, really see how special we are to him, how precious we are in his sight, how much he loves us. The hidden manna, the stone with a new name on it, point us forward to something more that we'll enjoy in the future. Hey, take the manna. Manna in itself, nothing new. Manna is quite old. It appears quite early on in the Bible. It's special heavenly food that God fed his people with in the wilderness, miraculous food. He gave them this special heavenly food because he loved them. He loved his people. There are lots of verses where I could read about manna. We just look at the one in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20, where Nehemiah prays and says, well, you gave your good spirit to instruct them, those people in the wilderness, and did not withhold your manna, that special heavenly food, from their mouth. It gave them water for their thirst. And so great was the Lord's provision for his people that for 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. The manna that God fed his people with, special heavenly food. Now there's a period where the only manna that existed was hidden in a golden urn in the tabernacle and then the temple. But then later, some more manna was received, was revealed from heaven. Some more manna was revealed from heaven. And if I asked you this evening, have you ever tasted manna? If you're a Christian, you'll see it's a trick question. The answer is yes, because Jesus comes down as manna from heaven. Let's turn for a moment to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I'll be reading from verse 31 and 32, where Jesus speaks of himself in these words. So Jesus is speaking to a crowd who've seen him do miracles. And then they say to him, in verse 31 of John 6, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." He's speaking about himself. And then again, from verse 48 onwards, he says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Now here, some better manna has come. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." But you here can feed on manna, this heavenly bread, and Lord Jesus, who came down to give life to us, that in him we can enjoy this eternal life, that we can know this being satisfied from heaven, this provision for us, this life given to us. That's what we already enjoy. Then in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus says, well, there's even more manna that's still hidden. There's something more to come that you haven't yet experienced. Something more that one day you will eat. There's some special heavenly food, says Jesus, that he's saving for a very special day. Some special heavenly food that we haven't yet tasted, but one day we will enjoy it. If we know him, one day we'll see how special we are to him. Something more yet for us to enjoy. The hidden manna. And then we get this image of the white stone with a new name written on it that no one knows except the one who receives it. And this new name that no one knows except those who receive it, I think it's more likely that it's a shared name that all of Jesus' people share together. So it's known just to them, but not to others. I don't think it's that each of us will get a secret special name so that in eternity we'll all know Peter's Pete, but Jesus will call him Cornelius or whatever. I think it's a shared name for Jesus' people that speaks of a new status, a new privilege, a new reality. And I wonder if we should have in mind something like Isaiah chapter 62, which we can turn back to. The book of Revelation is filled with references to the Old Testament and to promises that God had made in the past. And in Isaiah 62, you can find that on page 752 or large print 1132. God talks about giving his people a new name on a day when they'll see how special they are to him. This is what God says from verse 2. "The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God." And here's where they see how special they'll be. "You shall no more be termed forsaken, for your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, 'My delight is in her,' and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." A new name that points God's people to a new status, a new position of privilege, a day when they'll see how special they are to him. So here with the hidden manna and the stone with a new name, we're getting pointed to a new heavenly food, a new heavenly status. And we can look forward to the day that's coming when Jesus' people will enjoy a new heavenly food and a new heavenly status. The passage I read from earlier, in Revelation chapter 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb. A day when Jesus will feed his people, his bride, with special heavenly food, a special heavenly banquet beyond anything we'll have experienced before. We'll know a relationship with him like we haven't experienced before. A new status, a new privileged reality. If we look forward to that marriage supper of the Lamb that's coming soon, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, the bride, his people, the church, that we're part of if we know him, if we trust him. In the New Testament, the church is described as being the bride of Christ. All that language is used of the church, Jesus' people. Then we look forward to that marriage supper that's coming. And I heard one person talk about it like this, that in a sense, the whole of life now, the whole of our lives now together here as church, the whole of our lives now, it's like walking down the aisle. That's what our life is now. We're just walking down the aisle, and one day we'll get to the end. The marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage will come. We'll enjoy the feasts beyond anything we know now. Oh, wonderful to know Jesus now, to know Jesus then. Of all of the terms and descriptions that Jesus could use to describe his relationship with his people, he chooses the closest, most intimate human relationship that we know, marriage. Of all of the meals he could choose to describe that meal that's coming one day, he chooses the most elaborate and joyful feast that people have on earth. No one does catering like wedding caterers. That day when we'll see how special we are to him. In fact, we'll taste it, how special we are to him. The white stone that gives us access to that hidden manna, that heavenly food that Jesus only shares with his people that he loves, his people. And it's so precious to him that we can be part of if we know him. These images of the hidden manna, the white stone, there's lots I haven't said about them. They show us that we are special to him. He shares things with us that he doesn't share with others. And one day we'll see how special, how really special we are. There's something more than what we already enjoy in him that we can look forward to, and we can see that glorious climax of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what all of this means, if we think about our special relationship, what all of this means, it gives us encouragement to keep going in the face of rejection and opposition. This promise in Revelation 2:17, it comes at the end of a letter to the church in Pergamon that we looked at, if you're with us this morning, where they're facing a lot of pressure and opposition, and Jesus was encouraging them to keep going. And then at the end, he gives them this promise. He says, well, you may be rejected by people now. You may face hostility and opposition, and you may be ostracized and marginalized and shut out from all kinds of things. But you're still special to Jesus. You always will be. You're still special to his people and always will be. And you may suffer now. You may lose out on some things now. You may face hostility now. But you're not really going to lose out if you know Jesus. You're not really going to lose out. Your eternal future is a special, personal, close relationship with him and all his people celebrating the feast. And the people in the church in Pergamum, they would be invited to lots of feasts in the temples of various idols and false gods. And these were an important part of society at the time. They were a place where you could do business. If you wanted to advance in the business world, you'd go to these feasts. If you wanted to advance socially and meet all the right people, you'd go to these feasts. And Christians shouldn't really go to those feasts where the idols were being worshipped and the food was being offered to them. So the Christians would miss out on those feasts in the idol temples. But were they really missing out? Not really, when they have the marriage supper of the Lamb to look forward to. And these Christians in Pergamum, all kinds of relationships might get damaged by their decision to keep going, to keep following Jesus. They could miss out on all kinds of relationships and opportunities, but were they really missing out? Not really, when they could look forward to this close personal relationship with Jesus forever. So too for us, that following Jesus may sometimes lead to opposition or hostility or to suffering or to hardship or to challenges. But we look ahead to the future and we know we're not really going to miss out. I could give you a way that this might cash out now. Imagine you get to know someone. You get to know someone and you'd like to speak about Jesus with them. And you think you get to know them a bit better first. You get to know them a bit better and they become friends. It's good to have friends, isn't it? Maybe some of you have had that experience. So they become friends. And as they become friends, you could find yourself being a bit reluctant to talk about Jesus with them because you don't want to lose the friendship. Have you ever had that experience? You don't want to damage the friendship that you've got. You want to keep that friendship and everything you enjoy with them, and maybe you've got special interests that you can't find with anyone else in the world except for this friend. You want to keep that friendship, so you're a bit cautious, at least, about speaking about Jesus to them. You're worried that the friendship will end. But Jesus points us ahead to the relationship we enjoy with him forever. And he says, The worst case scenario is that we share the gospel with someone, we lose the friend, and we're still friends with Jesus forever. The best case scenario, we share the gospel with someone, by God's grace they come to know Jesus, and we enjoy an even better friendship with them forever, and we're still friends with Jesus as well. We remember that special relationship we have with our Saviour. It leads us to be willing to stand for the truth of the gospel, stand for the truth of him, even if it affects our relationships and opportunities now, because we know how special we are to Jesus. We know that we will be special to him forever. And even if we face hardship now, even if we miss out on things now, we're not really going to miss out, because this Jesus has something special in store for all of his precious people. A new name, heavenly food, a glorious, spectacular eternity. Amen.